Appreciate the good singing, the good prayer this morning. And we're grateful so much that you're present with us this morning. Those of you that are visiting, we're delighted to have you. And we want you to come back every opportunity that you have. It's always good to worship the Lord. In John chapter 4, 23 and 24, the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such the Father seek to worship Him. God wants us to worship Him. He wants us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And what a joy it is upon the first day of the week that we can come together and just do that. Joe Winnicke sent me a text the other day. And in that text, he had gone to hear Bill Hall preach a sermon. And Bill Hall had made the statement, as many of you know, he's an older preacher like myself, and he made this statement when he was in a meeting at Eastside. And that statement is, when you get up in the morning, always remember this. Say to yourself, could it be that today will be the day that I meet the Lord? And as I reflected upon that, and I began to think about my own self and how life is so brief. The Bible says that if you live for 70 years, 80, 90, yet you still fly away. The end comes. Psalms 90, verse 10. And so really, I guess the sort of sermon this morning is based upon some of my personal feelings this last week. With me actually meeting the time when I leave this world and meeting face to face with Christ. As a matter of fact, start to title the lesson, Getting Ready So I Can Meet Jesus Face to Face. And as Bill Hall mentioned, if today is the last day, if today you and I will have not another day, it will be the end of the world. Are we ready to meet the Lord face to face? Listen to what Peter said, and I appreciate Matt reading it. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. Don't be ignorant of this. That one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Don't contemplate that you're going to have a long time. God's made it very clear to you. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Hebrews 9, verse 27. And Peter continues, you know, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. When He makes a promise, He keeps it. He's not slow in keeping that promise, as some men count slackness. But He is long-suffering to us. God's patient. He's long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that's a beautiful statement. God doesn't want us to be lost. He wants us to be ready. But He does not want us to be ignorant of the fact that one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years one day with the Lord. And then in verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Don't want you to be ignorant of this, Peter says. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? They are going to, it's going to happen. Looking for and hastening to the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire. Can you imagine that? The heavens being on fire. And they shall be dissolved. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. God said it's coming. God, you get ready. All of us need to get ready, because I, along with you, will meet our Creator. And then he says, looking for and hastening to the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens shall be on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Peter, what are you looking for? I'm looking for something totally different than what we have here. Are you looking for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness? Don't be ignorant of this one thing. You know it, believe it, and think about it. The Lord's not slack concerning His promise. He's not willing that you perish. He wants you to be ready. But the day of the Lord would come as the thief in the night. I get up in the night sometimes and I go back, check the doors to make sure they're still locked. You ever do that? How often have you left the door open and the next morning you get up and the door is open and anybody could have walked in? We want that safety, the safety of what? The doors being locked. And the Bible says the heavens will pass away with a great noise. And I hadn't thought a whole lot about that. But think about it for a moment. Peter says when this happens, a great noise. You've heard great noises. And surely if something explodes and you hear it all over Limestone County, immediately you say, what is that? But look what Peter says. A great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works therein shall be burned up. The heavens being on fire and the elements with fervent heat. And he says, we look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. Here's what Peter's saying. There will be a great noise. There'll be a great fire. There'll be new elements and a new earth. And the new earth will be dwelled with those who live in righteousness. And don't be ignorant of that. And in view of that, how ought you to live today? On my granddaughter's birthday, Sarah Ann, can you believe Tabitha's oldest child is 19 years old today? 19 years old. I tell you, friends, we have got to look for that in something that's new, which is the new earth. Now, I love this song. I don't think we sing it very much here in the garden. I come to the garden alone. While the dew is still on the roses and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me I'm His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks and the sound of His voice is so sweet. The birds hush their singing and the melody that He gave to me within my heart is ringing, and He walks with me, He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Why am I interested in this day? I'll tell you. Number one, I believe there will be a judgment day. Number two, I believe that every soul that has ever existed will be there. Number three, I believe that all the saints for all time will be there. Number four, I believe that every lost sinner will be there. Number five, I believe that the heavens and the earth will all be dissolved, melt with fervent heat. I believe that Guy McDaniel will stand before the great judgment of God. I believe that there will be no mistakes about God's final judgment. And I believe that when it's over, the saved will be taken to heaven and the lost will spend eternity in hell. The Bible has so much to say about that time when I meet my Creator, when you meet your Creator. The theme of the judgment to come is prominent in the Lord's teaching, especially in the parables. And I was really impressed again as I was studying. And He puts so much emphasis upon those that's going to be rejected and that are lost. And he talks about those that are saved. Let me just mention a few of those parables. Number one, in Luke 16, verse 2, and in verse 12, the unjust steward saved because he forgave other their debts. They have to get into a mess himself. He wasted his Lord's goods. He had to pay for that. In Luke 16, 19 through 31, there was a rich man that was condemned for not helping Lazarus. In Luke 18, verses 9 through 14, the Pharisee was condemned not just for being self-righteous, but especially for his despising his sinful brother. In Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30, the one talent man was rejected because he didn't give his talent to the Gentiles and earn usury for the Lord. But then that's not all. In Matthew 18, verse 36, Jesus talked about the big debtor that was rejected because he wouldn't forgive his brother. He'd been forgiven, but he wouldn't forgive his brother. The Lord said that he will make such a person pay all the debt. In Luke 15, verses 11 through 32, the elder son went out of the father's fellowship because he couldn't accept the return of the younger boy. In Matthew 25, 31 through 46, many will be rejected at the judgment because they refused to care for their weak brethren. I was sick. I was in need, but you didn't help me, God said. Well, Paul has a whole lot to say about this too. In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27, this is real interesting. When Paul says, I buffet my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest there be any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway or reject. The motivation that kept Paul striving to do the will of the Lord is seen in his realization that he himself had to keep himself controlled and walking in the truth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, Paul said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, I know it. You know it. Don't be ignorant of it. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We beg men. Try to motivate men. Try to get people to turn and walk with God. In Acts 17, 30 and 31, the times of this ignorance God winked at. But now he commendeth all men everywhere to repent. But if they don't repent, they're not going to be saved. He commands all men everywhere to repent because he's appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Guy McDaniel, you better listen. I've got to pay attention. Because when I meet my Creator, God says He commands all men everywhere to do what? To repent. Turn your life over to Him. In Acts 24, verse 25, you find Paul. And Paul is reasoning together with a great sinner. The Bible says, Paul's exposition of judgment to come caused Felix to tremble. And he said to Paul, go thy way when I have a convenient season. But friend, if today you meet Christ, if today is our last day, and you meet your Creator, I'm asking you, what good is it to tremble if you don't go ahead and obey the Lord? So much is said. And then in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. I'm not going to be excused. You're not going to be excused. No one's going to be excused from the truth. Acts 30 and 31, the times of this ignorance, God winked. But now, his commandment is to listen to God and obey Him. In Romans 2, verse 5, after the hardness and impediment heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. God's judgment will be right. We will be there. No exception. Me before my Creator. You before your Creator. And if God did not spare the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, that tells me something. That tells me God's not going to spare a soul who's not willing to obey and do His will. In 1 Corinthians 6:9-10, Paul says, "Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? You will not be there. I won't be there." Hebrews 9:27, "It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this is the judgment." For whom? For all of us. Revelation 20:11-12, "I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." I found something. Joel 2:1, "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand." Joel's talking about that time when man meets his Creator. In Matthew 25:41, "Then shall He say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Why was hell made? It was for the devil and his angels, and all those who will not listen to Christ. In 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Meeting our Creator on that great day, all saints for all time will then be carried into heaven. What a joyous thing that will be. During the New Testament times, the Christians at Thessalonica, they became worried about the Christians who died, and they afraid that they would miss out on Jesus' return. They were afraid those who died ceased to exist. What did Paul say to them? Listen to him. "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus." You mean those that are in the grave that sleep? Those that have already left us? Yes. Who? The saints? What's Christ going to do? He's going to bring them with Him. "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." You lost your loved one? I have too. Last Friday, 20 years ago, my mother died. I've thought a whole lot this week about my own relatives who passed away. God's made a promise. And if I meet my Creator today, if you meet your Creator today, as Bill Hall says, could it be that today is the day for either your final day up on the earth or mine, or for all of us, because that great day shall come. We learn, therefore, that the judgment day will be signaled by a shout and a trumpet. Christ will descend. The dead will arise first, then those alive will join them in Christ in the air. And certainly this shows us how important to be prepared. Well, what's going to happen to this earth? Boy, it's pretty, isn't it? Did you see the beautiful weather yesterday we had, especially the evening? Did you notice this morning outside when you were hurriedly getting here? Did you see the beauty of God everywhere? That's right. What about the earth? Will anything be left of it or on the earth? Peter, in his letter, warns us of the final destruction of the earth on the last day. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are therein will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements melt with fervent heat. Yes, it's going to happen. Sometimes you have these religious people that say, you know what God's going to do? He's going to come back and cleanse the earth, this earth. And He's going to make it so that the righteous will dwell on this earth. That's not true. The Bible doesn't teach that. Look what He says. The elements of both the heavens and the earth, the things that comprise this world, will be destroyed. Nothing will be left of the universe and reality that we now live in. Because you see, we're going to have a new body. There's going to be a new earth that dwelleth in righteousness. What kind of body are we going to have? That's, of course, been a question by many people. So what happens to our bodies and all the dead people's bodies? The Bible teaches that all will receive new bodies, all people both good and bad. The New Testament times, the Christians in the city of Corinth were faced with a false doctrine that denied that there would be a resurrection. And one supporting argument that was proposed was that our bodies will decay in the grave. So how could there be a resurrection since our bodies will be destroyed? And the Apostle Paul responded to this false doctrine by explaining that we will receive new bodies. Listen, 1 Corinthians 15. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. No question about it. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. We'll be given new bodies when the trumpet sounds. So before we even leave this earth, the resurrected dead and those still alive will be given a new immortal body. It's in this body that we will all stand before God and live out the remainder of eternity. God's great throne and the final judgment. So what happens once we leave this earth and it's all destroyed? Where do we go? You know, the Bible tells you, Christ is going to take you and me with Him. I saw a great white throne, and Him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great. Isn't that something? Not a single one was missing. Standing before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. Is there a book of life? Oh, yes. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. Back to Bill Hall's statement, if today is the day, here's what he says is going to happen. That the dead will be judged according to their works. Each one of us. By the things which are written in this book. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each man, each one, according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. And anyone, this is in the Bible. This is what God says. And anyone not found written in the book of life, was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 20, 11 through 15. Guy, you're going to have to meet your Creator. Everything you said and done, you got to give account for it. And if that's today, are you ready? Are you ready? From heaven's standpoint, and you know this for a fact, hell has no exit. Not one way to get out of it. Heaven has but one door, one way to get into it, and that's Jesus Christ. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Oh, my friends, it's going to be a wonderful occasion if we're ready for that great day. When? I don't know. And these people that tell you that there is a day that's been said which they now can predict, I can't do that. The Bible says it's going to come as a thief in the night. When does a thief rob your house? Well, the answer is you don't know. It happens suddenly and unpredictably. And Jesus also asked this question by his apostles in Matthew 24, verse 3. But of that day and hour, no one knows. That's what Jesus said. Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Unexpectedly, as a thief in the night. And Jesus said, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming, Matthew 24:42. And Jesus completely, and he tells us that no one knows that day. No apostle, no angel, not even the Son of Man. Judgment. Me meeting my Creator. You meeting your Creator. And if it should be today, what will be the judgment of our lives? It will be the end of all time and the day of reckoning for all people before the Creator. Jesus said that no man knows what day it will be. So it could be today. It could be tomorrow. We know not when. And don't consider time as indication as to when. Because one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years as one day. There's a great day coming. We sing that song. A great day coming. There's a great day coming by and by when the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? There's a bright day coming. A bright day coming. There's a bright day coming. By and by. But its brightness shall only come to them that love the Lord. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you? But there is a sad day coming. There's a sad day coming. It's a sad day coming by and by. When the sinner shall hear his doom, depart, I know you not. Are you ready for that day to come? Think about your neighbor and friend right now. Are you? Am I? The day when we meet our Creator. There was a song at Christmas time. It's called Christmas Shoes. I'm sure most everybody's heard it. I want to read you what it says. It was almost Christmas time. There I stood in another line, trying to buy that last gift or two, not really in the Christmas mood. Standing right in front of me was a little boy waiting anxiously. He was pacing round like little boys do, but in his hands he held a pair of shoes. His clothes, they were worn. They were old. He was dirty from head to toe. And when it came his time to pay, I couldn't believe what I heard him say. "Sir, I want to buy these shoes for my mama, please. It's Christmas Eve and these shoes are just her size. Could you hurry, sir? Daddy says there's not much time. You see, she's been sick for quite a while. And I know these shoes will make her smile. And I want her to look beautiful if mama meets Jesus tonight." They counted pennies for what seemed like years. The cashier says, "Son, there's not enough here." He searched his pockets frantically. Then he turned and he looked at me. And he said, "Mama made Christmas good at our house. Most years she's just did without. Tell me, sir, what am I going to do? Somehow I got to buy her these Christmas shoes." So I laid down the money down. I just had to help him out. And I'll never forget the look on his face when he said, "Mama's going to look so great." I knew I caught a glimpse of heaven's love as he thanked me and ran out. I knew that God had sent that little boy to remind me what Christmas is all about. It's a beautiful little story. Wanting Mama to look good if Mama meets Jesus tonight. I want you to look good if today or when you do meet the Creator, not just with a pair of shoes, but with your heart, surely serving God with all your might, and be able to hear Jesus say to you, "You're well qualified. You're prepared. Well done. Come with me. And dwell with me forevermore. Me and my Creator. Am I ready? Are you?" If you're in this assembly this morning, you're not a Christian, now is the time to surely arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And if you're a Christian and you haven't lived right, now make your life right. Right now, while together we stand.